expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversaries. If we keep sinning as Christians after knowing the truth, this is what the Bible says, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin.
Do you see how that's not what that verse says? The payment for sin has been accepted. That's why Jesus sits down. The blood has been applied. So if we sin willfully, we're not doomed to hell because that sin has been paid. But what is a guarantee for us? Fearful looking of judgment. We're going to stand before God and give an account. Hey guys, welcome back to yet another Pastor Reacts video. This is Pastor Jesse Martinez, and you are here at Bible Line. We're continuing to react to Isaiah here. He is now going to talk about Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 26. We're reacting to a video that says, God told me some Christians will go to hell. Lots of things that we've already discussed. It was going to be way too long of a video to do it all in one shot, so we're doing multiple videos. I really believe this will be helpful for you. All right, let's let him talk here. We are in Hebrews 10, 26.
Hebrews 10, 26. For if we sin willfully, look at this. After having received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So you can call yourself a Christian all you want. If you keep on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains but a certain fearful
Stop. That's not true. Hebrews is one of those books where when you get it, you get it. Now, I'm not saying, like, I'm not being elitist by saying that. What I'm saying is there is a lot of misinterpretation on Hebrews, but Hebrews is written to Jewish people. That doesn't mean it can't apply to Gentiles, but it's primarily written to Jewish people who are going through physical persecution because they have turned from the Jewish way and believed on Jesus Christ. Their belief has saved them, but now the Jewish practices don't, those things don't save them. They've put their trust in Jesus Christ. Now they're coming under persecution for that, and they're starting to revert back to Judaism so they're not persecuted. But what is being said here is right in the middle of a discussion where it's already been started in Hebrews chapter 9. Bada bing, bada boom. It's all context, baby. But Isaiah goes to Hebrews 10:26 and says, oh, see, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, what's the knowledge of the truth? That Jesus is the Messiah, that there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins because he is the sacrifice. He says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Isaiah, the guy that we're listening to here, says that means you're not going to be able to get saved anymore. Pay attention to what I'm about to say here. What that means is Jesus has to continually die on the cross to pay for every sin you commit over and over and over again. If that's what this verse means, if that's what Isaiah is saying this verse means, then what Jesus did on the cross, he has to keep doing it to keep us saved. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, very clearly, don't forget, if you're new here to Bible Line, to hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. Make sure you set it to all so whenever we post anything, you get an alert. Also, make sure to like, comment, and share this video. That helps get the video out to new people that have not discovered the channel. And also, we appreciate all the feedback and discussion in the comment section. It's good. If you have a question or a video that you would like me to answer, react to, send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, right here on the screen, and we'll do our best to get you a written response and make a video in response as well. Let's get back to today's react. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in. Drum roll, please. Brrr. How many times did he enter in? Brrr. Once into the holy place, having he obtained it already, eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the appearing of the flesh, which it did, it was a physical temporary covering for sin, how much more shall the blood of Christ, amen, his blood, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. the offering of Christ, which was once and paid for all of our sins in that one instance, should motivate us to live soberly and righteous in this present world, not to get that sacrifice, but because we've already gotten it by faith in Jesus Christ. This passage, Hebrews 10:26, I get fired up. You can tell the engine's going here because it's so misused. This is a very plain reading. Look at Hebrews 10:26 again. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. By the way, all the sin we do is willful. I'm not driving down the road and somebody hits me and all of a sudden I'm like, I lash out in anger and go, wow, that was so unwillful of me. No, it was undisciplined and it was something I chose to do. We all sin willfully. After we achieve the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. We don't have to have that sin paid for. It's already paid for. But what is that remains? A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Where in the scripture is the believer involved with fiery indignation? The judgment seat of Christ. If the believer chooses to live in a system that does not bring eternal life, they live carnally, they live against the truth, they apostatize away from the Lord, they will have to give an account for their profitlessness at the judgment seat of Christ. All those works that they do, they're going to be burned up. That's the fiery indignation. It devours the adversaries, but it does not devour the believer. Who's the adversary of God? Those that call him a liar and have rejected his son. Now listen to how the pretzel maker, Isaiah, twists this.
Expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversaries. If we keep sinning as Christians after knowing the truth, this is what the Bible says, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin.
Do you see how that's not what that verse says? Hold on just a second here and go earlier in the chapter. Hebrews chapter 10, just a little bit up in verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice, his body and his blood, for sins forever. How many sacrifices? One. How long? What's that good for? Forever. He sat down on the right hand of God. So he's done all the payment for sin. It's been accepted. It's been made. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The ones who are sanctified are the ones who have believed. Their sin is paid. Romans discusses that. So then we go down to verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. We have boldness because of the blood of Jesus to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. This is a comparison to an old and a dead way, which was through works of the law, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We get this new and living way through his flesh. This is an illustration. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He's not going to say that in 23 and then completely contradict himself in 26 to make there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins mean that Jesus is continually paying for our sins. The payment for sin has been accepted. That's why Jesus sits down. The blood has been applied. So if we sin willfully, we're not doomed to hell because that sin has been paid. But what is a guarantee for us? Fearful looking of judgment. We're going to stand before God and give an account. The certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, this is at the judgment seat of Christ. That fire will devour the adversaries. But what does it say about the believer? Well, let's look. 1 Corinthians 3, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest. This is verse 13. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. Not the man, but his work, of what sort it is. The sort is in verse 12. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So the man's work is the one that is tested. If that remains, he gets a reward. If the work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. But Isaiah is telling you, well, the fire is going to destroy you because you didn't work hard enough. You didn't stay faithful, so you weren't really saved. Which implies, it implies that a man is saved by his own works. So he very quickly moves on to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we are not going to move that quickly. We'll have another video next week breaking down his next point. If you're watching today and you're depending on your own good works, your own rigid obedience to God's word to prove that you're really saved, I want you to rest in the Savior. Change your mind from all of those works being something that makes you righteous before God, and instead put your trust in Jesus Christ, who did all the work for you. He shed his blood. He offered his body on the cross as the Son of God to take away your sins. The moment that you believe on him, God gives you the free gift of everlasting life. You're now forever sanctified. You're going to be glorified one day. Jesus will not forget you. And then you go on doing good works, not to prove that you're saved, but out of love for the Lord and out of love for people. This type of teaching is dangerous because it makes people the security for their own salvation. I may have said this before in the this channel's been up for a long time now, so you may have heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. God guarantees the security of the believer. The believer's assurance is gained by practice of the word. This is very important to understand. Just because you don't know if you're saved or not, that doesn't mean that you're saved or not. It means that you have not rightly divided the word. But if you're here saying, I know I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, because I go to church, because I live my life like Mr. Isaiah here, that's not going to be enough. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone. That's what brings about permanent eternal life. If you have a question for us, send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. If you have a video you want us to react to, send it to the same email address. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. God bless you. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.